of Zion, praise the Lord. Praise, 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 praise the Lord. Praise God. I want to thank God for this great day and another opportunity that He has given again to me. Though I am not worthy to be standing here to share with you today, but He has delighted the Lord to use me, and I am grateful. Today, I'm going to be sharing with us on a topic the women have assigned to me as life before and during marriage. Like I said initially, I'm honestly not qualified. I don't count myself qualified to be the one taking this subject. But I believe that the Lord has a reason for asking me to do this afternoon. And my prayer today is that He will speak through me to each and every one of us here, and that His word today will transform our lives and make us successful single and married women in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Some few years back, the youth fellowship invited me to speak to them, to the single sisters, on life before marriage. And I remember that day I told them, I'm not a preacher, I am not a teacher, I'm just a simple sister, and a very shy one for that too. But over the years, the Lord has brought me up. And like I told them, and the same thing I'm saying to you today, the only thing I have to share with you, maybe I was privileged to be a Christian, a believer, before I got married at a young age. So I could share my experiences with you based on the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And I've been married for 11 years now, going on 12. And I believe by His grace, I have had and I'm still having a glorious marriage. Praise God. So today I'm really going to be sharing, based on my experience and the experience of others, coupled, tied to the word of the Lord. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to start first on life before marriage. And that will be speaking generally to our single sisters. How many single sisters are here this afternoon? Can you just rise up on your feet? Single sisters, you are not married. Just rise up to your feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. As you have come here today, the Lord will meet with you. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Now, our culture generally in Africa, you know, it's like when you are single, you are not married, it's beginning to become like it's a curse, or it's a taboo, it's a bad thing. But I want to make you understand that being single is an opportunity. It's a privilege. Let's open our scripture quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 34. Apostle Paul said here, he said, there is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cared for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married cared for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So for me, from that scripture, what it tells me is that being single, being unmarried, because a single person is an unmarried person. So being single, being unmarried, is an opportunity for us to serve God. It's an opportunity for us to know Him better, to develop ourselves, to walk with God. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. So for us to have a successful Christian life as single sisters, we need to connect with God. We need to build a relationship with Him. Like I told you earlier, basically I'm going to be sharing my experience. Now, I got saved while I was still a teenager. I was about 18 when I got to know about Jesus and I embraced Jesus. And I come from a family that is Catholic. I'm an only daughter and a first child. I was very close to my dad and, you know, everything was like, you know, Catholic from childhood, from primary school. In fact, in my primary school, I've done my confirmation. Baptism, First Holy Communion, confirmation and all of that. I went to a Catholic school, primary school, secondary school. If there was a Catholic university there, I'm sure my father would have sent me to one. That tells you how strict Catholic family they were. But while I was in primary school, you know, faithfully, even in primary school, every day after school, I would go, my school is opposite the church. I would walk over to the church, clean the seats, clean the church, you know, do things for the house of the Lord. I had always loved God. But when I got into the secondary school, after 2 years, government took over the school from the Catholic Church. Then the priests and the reverend sisters and all of them left. And then we had all sorts of people coming to the school for fellowship, for, you know, to minister to us and all of that. Then in my final year, my form five, a young man came to school just as we were preparing for our final exams from the United States. Pentecostal. He ministered that day. And before this time, I had been searching the scriptures. I did not agree with a lot of things in the Catholic Church. So I was searching the scriptures. And I stopped going to the Catholic Church. I started disagreeing with my parents on a lot of things. And then this man came, and after that ministration, I was like, no, I can't continue with this thing. There's something different here. I wanted to know God better. But my father would not let it, so I continued. Rather than going to church, I sit at home. And then I got into the university. I was looking for another place to worship. I couldn't find one. Finally, in my third year in the university, I came across the Revival Assembly Church then. And there I met with Jesus. And from that minute, even when I was in my school, I was in Unilag, doing my projects, very hectic. There was never a program in church that I would miss. I was in love with God. I was just in love with Jesus. And nothing else mattered. When my friends and everybody in school were getting married and thinking about marriage, for me, I wanted to go to church. I wanted to be in the house of God. I was always talking to people about Jesus, inviting them to come to church. And in the course of my searching for Him and running after Him, I met the man I'm married to today. But I wasn't going to church or going looking for a husband. I hope I'm trying to, people are connecting with me. I was loving God. I joined a group. I was in the intercessory group. We would meet twice a week. In the evenings, I would leave school from Yaba. I would go to church in Oba. Sometimes I'm in church till after 10 p.m. in the night. I will go back to school. I will leave my project. My colleagues could not. Sometimes you're busy with schoolwork and everything. We're doing 21 days fasting. I am part of it. I am in church. What am I trying to tell us today? Single sisters, this time of your singlehood is the time that you have to give God your very best. I'm speaking from experience. I know. What I did for God as a single girl, I have not done half of it since I got married. I desire those days because I had my time. I gave it all to him. I put him first before all others. And you know, when you connect to him and you put him above all else, whatever it is that you need, without even praying for it or asking for it, he will give it to you. When others were running after men in school, I wasn't even interested in that. Because now I had met Jesus. And I was wishing I had met him long before that. There was a fire in me. There was nothing that was going to stop me. Nothing. I was not ready to let anything or anyone stop me. So, what I'm saying to you today, that until you are satisfied in your relationship with God, you are not ready for marriage. You might be wondering what I mean. It is in that process that God molds you. It is in that process that God transforms you and prepares you. All I knew about marriage before I went into marriage, I knew it as a single girl. I was so prepared, women fellowship, everything, as a single sister, I didn't miss one. And then I made friends mostly with people that were Christians in marriage and happy homes. Because now there was pressure at home. I had graduated from school, my parents were pressurizing me, you need to settle down. Yes, I had met someone who I knew was God's will for me, but I was still not just in a hurry to just get into marriage. I wanted to get a job and fend for myself. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, being single is an opportunity for us to develop ourselves. It's an opportunity for you to know your God better. It's an opportunity for you to make the most for yourself. When I graduated at 23, and my dad was insisting that, okay, fine, there's somebody that wants to marry you, but you must get a job. And I had friends who got married while I was in school. And I said, okay, fine. I got the job, then I understood why my father said you must get a job first. There's nothing like you have something doing as a woman. Don't think, I know I had a cousin then. She couldn't get a job. All she was interested in, let her just get married, let a man carry her responsibility. We believe that that is what marriage is all about. Get married, the man carries your responsibility. But if you go to the book of Genesis, when God made the woman, before he created the woman, he said it was not good that man should be alone, right? That a help meet, a helper that is suitable. Most times we translate it as helpmate, but it's not helpmate. It is help meet. M-E-E-T. A help that meets the needs of the man. A help that supports the man. A help that is compatible to the man. A help that is suitable for the man. And the Bible does not tell us that the only area the woman should help is in the housekeeping. In the society that we are in today, you cannot survive on the income of just one person in the family. Some marriages are in trouble not because of any other thing, but because of finance. Money. It's causing problems in a whole lot of marriages today. Even in the church. Today, people, I see young girls, you just leave secondary school, you want to rush and get married. You don't want to further your education, you don't want to learn a trade, you don't want to do anything. You just want to get married and let the man carry your responsibility. But I was going through my scriptures in Proverbs 31. We all know that story, right? The virtuous woman. Can we open our Bible to Proverbs 31 and let's look at it together? From verse 10. We are not going to be reading through it all, but I'm just going to highlight some areas. The Bible says, okay, let's look at verse 12. It says, she seeketh wool and flax, and walketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. Verse 14. Verse 16 says, she considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planted a vineyard. Praise the Lord. Now, if this woman was idle, if she did not have a means of livelihood, if she was not doing anything and depending solely on her husband, would she be able to buy a field? There was no reference to her husband providing anything for her in all of this scripture, if you have read it before. There was no reference to her husband supplying her needs. So what am I saying to us single sisters today? When we are single, it is a time for us to plan our lives. To put together, there must be something we have a passion for. Identify your passion. Identify your purpose. What is a passion? Something you love to do. Something that excites you. For example, you know, there was a sister there who I was sitting out there. You know, when things, I know she said, she made a statement. When things are not going well, things are not well organized, she feels uncomfortable, she feels restless. That means she has a passion for event management. She might not know it, but she has a passion for event management. She can organize events. She's somebody that likes things being organized in a certain way. If it's not going right, she's uncomfortable. And for each and every one of us, there is something inside of you, if you check yourself, that excites you, that you love to do. That that just keeps burning in your heart, that you feel like when some things are not going in line, you know, you just don't feel comfortable until you have done something about it. So when we are single, it's the time for us to identify our passion and to develop it and make the most of it. By the time you get married, you have your husband to care for, you have your children to care for, you have maybe your in-laws and your aged parents, your attention is divided. But now you are single, you have all the time to yourself. How are you spending it? What are you doing for Jesus? Are you so, the only reason you come to church is because you want to get married? So you come for I Must Marry program, you come to fellowship, you go to see the prophets and the ministers to pray for you, you want to settle down, you want to marry. But what are you doing for Jesus? I went for a church program and I met the man I'm married to today. I didn't go there looking for, everything was working against my going to that program that day, but I determined nothing would stop me. I was in school. On that particular day, there was a court fight. We were locked up in school. Nobody was allowed to go out. Everybody was like, stay back, forget it. I said, I must go for that program. I would not miss it for anything. I got to the school gate. It was locked. The young men were climbing over the fence to go out of school. I saw a table at one corner. I pushed it by the fence. I climbed. I went over the fence and I left. I got to church and I met him. Not with that in my heart, but with a desire to go and work for my father. It was a Saturday. So I could just say, okay, we are locked in school now. You can't go. I can't go for this program today. Let me stay back. But I said, no way. The devil was not going to stop me. But I didn't know that God had something packaged for me. Sometimes I would get home at 12 in the night, my parents will be worried. My mom will be standing outside. Where have you been? Church. Every little income I get, allowance I got, any opportunity I had to use it for the things of God, I would do it. I would spend hours fasting and praying, interceding for others, not for myself. And God was on the side organizing my life for me without me having to worry about it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Being single is an opportunity for you to connect with people. Mix with people. Being single doesn't mean you should be lonely. It doesn't mean loneliness. It doesn't mean you should be on your own. It's an opportunity for you to mix with others and learn from them. There's so much you can learn from others. Don't keep to yourself. But then, like the Bible tells us, watch the company you keep. And remember, it's also in the scriptures. It says that iron sharpens iron. Mix with people that are spiritually more mature than yourself. That can help you grow spiritually. That can help your prayer life. That can affect you positively. People that can build you and help you. And when you have identified your passion, identify with people that have the same passion, that are already following it, and learn from them. If it's a trade, go and look for someone who is doing very well in that same trade and learn from them. Let's stop sitting idle and waiting for some man to come into our lives, get married, and sit back at home and be a full-time housewife. It's not a sin to be a housewife. Don't get me wrong. But it's always good for us to have something doing. After my first degree, when I was immediately, I started pursuing my master's degree. Started pursuing my postgraduate programs. Because I knew that the moment I said to them, my lecturer called me one day and told me while I was still even in my final year, that immediately you finish, try and do your master's. Because the moment you settle down, I'm telling you honestly, I've been trying to go back to school. Excuse upon excuse I give myself since I got married. Always one excuse after the other. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Being single is an opportunity to serve God and to serve people. It's an opportunity, it's a call to service. It's an opportunity for you to serve others. To use that your passion in the house of God, in your family, in your community, to bless others. What are you doing right now as a single sister? Are you just sitting down folding your hands? Now that we're single, it's a time to spend more time in the Word. You know, that was the time where I could read, I remember vividly, that one year we were home for almost 6 months, school was closed. Within that period, I read my Bible back to back in less than 6 months, twice. In less than 6 months, twice, I read my Bible back to back. It's a time to exercise your mind and your body. You exercise your mind by studying the Word. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a wise man, rightly dividing the word of truth. Everything I know in the scriptures today, I gathered before I got married. Even as a single sister in a Pentecostal church where I was worshiping, I was ministering. God was using me more than I'm making myself available now. Now is a struggle. And I ask God for mercy. But what am I saying to you today? Sow the seed now that you're single. As you study the word and build up yourself on the word of God, it is that word that you have inside of you that will determine what happens around you. It is what you have inside of you that determines what happens around you. If you are empty on the inside, it will also reflect on your outside. And that is why Pastor would come out every time talking about our dressing, talking about our character and all of that. But the more of the word of God you have on your inside, gradually your life begins to change. I mentioned earlier, I was born into a family of six. We are six children. I'm the only girl and the first child. I have five brothers. And the gap between me and my younger ones is quite wide. Because somehow after me, you know, my mother had some years of waiting before the Lord blessed her again. So my father brought me up. You know, I was close to my father. I grew up very, very close to my father. And I was used to wearing only trousers. I had no other clothes but trousers. Even when I met Jesus, it was a problem. But, you know, as time went on, this is even as a Pentecostal, as time went on, I felt very uncomfortable in some of those clothes I used to wear. When I started wearing skirts, I could not wear long skirts like this. You cannot catch me in a skirt like this. Or even covering my knee. It has to be a mini skirt. But as time went on, I couldn't wear those things again. Nobody spoke to me. Nobody preached to me. But the word of God began to minister to me. I now would feel naked wearing some clothes without anybody having to minister to me as a single sister. So what am I saying to us today? If we are grounded in the word of God will renew us. It will transform us. He will make us more like Jesus. And that's what he wants from us. Praise the Lord. And apart from exercising your mind by the word, you need to also get fit. Keep fit. Keep active. Don't be lazy. And sit back and sleep and sleep. I don't have a job. You sleep from morning to 12 noon. You are doing nothing. The job or whatever will not come to you in your bedroom. You need to rise up. You need to rise up and move. Before I got a job, when I didn't have a job, the first thing I did was, okay, since I don't have a job now, let me go to Bible school. Praise the Lord. Let me go to Bible school. I went to Bible school. I was a Pentecostal, so I went to Bible school. I didn't just want to sit down doing nothing. Then when I finished from Bible school, I would follow my father to his own office. If there's anything he needs me to help him to do while I'm looking for a job, rather than sitting at home. Then I went to learn how to sew. Yes, my godmother, as a Catholic, you know, I had godmother. She used to be, she was into sewing, very good. In those days, as little kids, she used to make clothes and supply to Leventis and Kingsway. You can imagine that she used to make clothes to supply to them. So rather than sit at home, I went to start learning how to sew. And in the course of that, I got a job. I abandoned the sewing midway, but I'm going back to it again. Because I will not work for somebody forever. Praise the Lord. So what I'm saying to us today is, sisters, single sisters, we need to rise up. We need to rise up. And stop sitting back and waiting for hands down. Or waiting for some man to come and take care of your responsibilities. The man needs you to support him, remember. Praise the Lord. Praise Master Jesus. Then, finally, after 9 years of courtship, I got married to my husband. And I married a very stubborn man. When you say stubborn, he is stubborn to the last bus stop. Headstrong. My mother-in-law told me something. She said, from the womb, your husband was stubborn. And Pastor was preaching the other day. He said, you cannot change him. And it's the truth. I experienced it. He was not only stubborn, he has a problem with temper. His temper was very, very short. He was quick to anger. And me, I'm a very patient person. You can hardly get me angry. People that know me very well will tell you they have hardly seen me angry. When you see me angry, you know that it has gotten to here. So now marrying someone that at the slightest thing, he's provoked. He will lose it. You might not understand. Let me give you an example. Somebody that can fight a policeman on the streets and take his gun for him and disarm them. He's not afraid of anybody. And me, I was like, what kind of thing is this? But I began to pray. Because when you talk, you only make matters worse. So I won the battle. Today I can tell you that my husband is totally different. Completely different. On these two knees. On these two knees, sisters. Because when I observe something and I tell him, it will turn into problem, quarrel. So I'd never talk to him again. I rather started talking to God. It will take a while. It will take a while. The Bible says that a wise woman does what? I can't hear you. A wise woman does what? Builds her house. If you want to have a good and a successful marriage, it is your responsibility as women. It is in your hands. It is in your hands. It is in my hands. It is in your hands. I discovered that even before I got married. That there is no way, absolutely no way, I can have peace and enjoy my marriage if I don't make it happen by myself. First and foremost, you need to know your spouse. You need to know your husband. You need to understand him. You need to study him. Those that you think you can talk to him about, you talk to him about it. But, you know, Pastor spoke to us basically about this two Sundays ago. So I will not want to dwell too much on it, but I just want to tell us that you need to go on your knees and you need to pray. If you are in a situation where you know that it cannot work by your own human efforts, you need to take it to God. And I didn't go into marriage believing that I was perfect. No. At all times, I believed I had issues. I had problems more than my husband. So I needed also prayers to be compatible to him. He's a very loving person, though. He's everything, yes. But he also has comma, just as I have comma. None of us is perfect. So, you need to take time to get to know your husband. To know who he is. To understand him. And to adapt. You have to adapt. And the only way you can adapt is by asking God for help. If you offend me, sometimes I might talk. Sometimes I will not talk. And I don't know how to keep a grudge. I don't remember. But if you do A to my husband, he will remember the date, he will remember the time, he will remember the hour. He might not talk to you today, he will talk about it. Maybe 2 years' time, he will remind you what you did. And that is when he feels like talking about it, that is when you will talk about it. And he will want you to give explanation for what happened 2 years ago, and I cannot remember. And he does not believe that you cannot remember. So what do I do? We talk and talk, then I realize I'm just going to be having stress and headaches. And I began to talk to God. I'm telling you simple, straightforward. I talk to God like I'm talking to you right now. I tell him, this is the problem, this is the situation. We cannot continue like this. You need to do something. He is your son. You are the potter and we are the clay. It's either you break him and remold him, or you break me and remold me to be able to adapt to him. And do you know now, he doesn't even remember. When something happens and I say, and I'm trying to remind him, he's like, when did that one happen?
He cannot recall any longer. It took a while, though. It wasn't easy. But God is still working on him. It's not true yet, but he's still working on him. Praise the Lord.